Good morning, Bay City Church. Can you hear me? On? Wonderful to be with you. Really just has a sense of being with family. We get to partner in this beautiful city together, and really such a privilege to be with you guys and partner in this beautiful city. And just in praying for you over this last time, I just had a sense, I shared it with some of the leaders yesterday. I kept seeing a picture of an army and a navy base in a bay. And so your name is Bay City Church, and this picture was of an army and a navy base. And it's kind of not a picture you kind of see a lot or kind of want to see, but I kind of saw this church as this navy and army base. And I felt God kind of saying that this would be a training center, a training ground for people to be equipped in the gospel. And there's a pioneering spirit in this church to go. And I really had a sense it's not just the nicks and the few that will go into other nations, but it's also you would be a church that's known in the city. I felt God kind of saying that there's going to be an undeserved and an unmerited favor upon you as a community, upon you as a family, upon Bay City Church, to be in this bay, to be in this city, to be in this community, but to be in the nations. And just a sense that you are going to be a church that will significantly impact the nations. And I felt it's not just the ones or the twos. There's a sense of an army needs every person. Every person counts. It's not, don't see yourself as insignificant. Well, it's that person that's going to play the role. I really felt a sense of God saying, it's each one of you. And you might be sitting here thinking it's the person next to me, but it's you. God has a purpose and something in you that he wants you to deposit into others and share. And so I really have a sense that it's each person making a contribution, and that contribution is going to be significant. There's going to be a unity in this church to be that army, to be that base. And there's a sense of people coming in, being trained, and then being released to go out. And so you guys are going to have to, maybe it's going to be hard. You can't hold on to every person that comes in. It's almost like a sense of God's going to knit you together for a season, but then you're going to be able to release people into context and into nations. And so I felt that unity. I felt that God said every person has a role to play, and it's you. It's not the person next to you. And then just a sense of, we sang that song, Church, Arise to Shine. And there's like a muscling up happening in you. I don't know if you remember, but way back there was compulsory military training. The men around here, some of you had to go to military training. It was compulsory. And I kind of almost feel like saying, sorry for you. Sorry for you, but God is going to be training you guys. I almost feel like a sense of like I saw a backbone and a backbone muscling up, a backbone being strong, a backbone being strong in faith and in strength, and almost like a muscling up happening in this church to do what God's purposed you to do. And you're going to be stepping out supernaturally and taking those steps of faith. So you're going to be equipped. You're going to be trained. And that's a beautiful thing. So Bay City, you are a church that will arise to shine. And it's each one of you, each one of you. Arise and shine.
Morning, church. My name is Duncan. Shoo, loud. thank you, Nick. Thank you, Shelley. Lovely to be here and just concur. We do feel like family. Lovely to see friendly faces, familiar faces. I'm an artist, a painter, a sculptor. And we sang a line that said, shine your light to the world. And I just want to tag on the back of what I feel God has shared through Tash. You know, as an artist, I'm asking a lot of questions. And one of the questions I'm always asking is, what is imagination? Now, imagination, all of you have. It's the power to bring to mind right now something that's not physically present. You can all do that. You can imagine a cup of coffee in your hand. You can imagine your feet in the sand and the beach. You can imagine that. And you can be imaginative all day. But I felt God wants to take you from imagination to creativity. You see, when you apply that imagination, when you apply it, it gets legs. That's when it becomes creativity. Now, creativity is having original ideas that have value. In other words, there's some meat to it. And I think that's the muscling up that Tash was maybe referring to. Now, I want to just draw your attention to an incredible parallel in Scripture. Hebrews 11 says faith is the substance of things hoped for. It might as well be saying imagination is the substance of things hoped for. It's exactly the same. And what does the Bible, what does our Father say, excuse me, about faith without works? It's meaningless. So you can say you believe in Jesus. And you can imagine that you are the closest, most awesome son or daughter of the King. But if you don't believe it and act on that and step out in faith on that and see something manifest from that faith, it's just imaginations. And so my word and my sense for you is that you are a creative people more than you think you are, more than you can even imagine you are. If you would give God the credit to say he's made you more creative and imaginative than you can imagine, if you believe he's that capable, and he is, then you have to take your creativity seriously and you've got to begin to mix it with your reason. So the intelligence and creativity are just opposite sides of the same coin. Everybody has creativity, but it needs legs. Be blessed. Be creative.
Thanks. Don't have a lot to add after those two words. Just always good to take a moment to say some special words about Nick and Shelley. We've known them for, we're coming up to 16 years in PE in November, end of this month, and they are the same. And they started a community called Bay City Church. They planted this church. And there was not a church called Bay City. There was no community called Bay City Church. There was just an imagination which led to creativity in their hearts. And they relocated to this city. And they gathered a few people. Some people relocated from Maritzburg, the Coleys. And they met in school halls and in buildings, some good, some not so good. And along the way, they learned some lessons in God. Along the way, they picked up some scars. But if you've joined recently, you're not just joining a church, you're joining a story of God's redemptive purpose. Whilst everyone has a role to play, it's always good just to say, Nick and Shelley, really, really well done. Not only for for your role in establishing this beautiful church, which you have the privilege of belonging to this morning, but for your work into the churches and into the nations. And the one thing that we probably don't get to see, we get to see, a Nick in a certain role. And let me give you an example. Last night was my daughter's 18th. In our family, when it's your birthday, we all get to say something that we love or appreciate or adore about you. But by the time she's 18, she's heard it every year, the same thing. So there were 24 people around a long table, and we said, okay, everyone gets to say something. And you know, they started, particularly the young people, started to say things about my daughter that I'd never seen. I'd never known that side about her. And I'm telling you, there's a side of Nick and Shelley that you don't know about him. And that side is that he carries a weight in the nations. He carries an authority in the nations. And why am I telling you this? It's just to appreciate and to value. Just like I'm so much more grateful for my daughter, there's stuff I didn't know about her that got revealed last night. And I'm just taking a moment to honor Nick and Shelley and to say, Nick, I'm very, very proud of you. And Shelley, very, very proud of what God has done, and particularly for just persevering in all contexts. God has made you into a perseverer, and we are all the better for it. That's the message, prayer that changes lives. It was until 12:30 last night. So if you know me, I'm pretty organized. My message was done by Tuesday. It was emailed to Jono by Wednesday. He had all the notes. It was all pretty much together. I was happy. And last night at 12:30, I woke up with this word, Bay City Church. Not Bay City Church, Bay City Church. Base, B-A-S-E. And as in that word that Tash bought, a military training base. I said, Lord, seriously, 12:30, what am I going to do? And I was lying on my bed, and I just said, Lord, I'm prepared to be a fool for you. You know, I really am. I'm prepared just to give this a bash, and if it's not of you, I'm prepared to be foolish and never to be invited back here again. Because the flip side is that if this is of the Lord, it will be incredibly helpful. And so, friends, you know, yesterday I preached an individual message, the naturally supernatural life. And you're welcome to get on the website. I think you'll find it really helpful and really encouraging, and I encourage you to get it. But this morning, I'm talking to you as a family. And I know for some of you, you might just be on the outskirts of the family. For some of you, you've just started to learn what it is to be part of this family. And some of you have been part of the family for a long time. But I'm talking to you as a family. Is that okay? It's not so much an individual, how it affects you. I hope that there are individual applications. But sometimes it's good just to say, Bay City family, can I have just a moment of what I think God is depositing within you? And so that word Bay City, I woke up early and I just started to drop down some thoughts. And a base trains people for a mission. The purpose of a military training base is to be trained for a mission. And so most of us join a church for various reasons. We join it because there's a sense of family. We join it because it's good for our kids. We join it because we love the worship. And by the way, thank you so much for the worship this morning. We join it for a whole lot of reasons, but very few of us join it because we love the mission. I've very seldom heard that. But the church has a mission. So what was really interesting, reading all the comments from the rugby, there's a whole lot of things about the rugby that I wasn't aware of. And probably the most interesting thing was Russ Erasmus's comments. He said, that he started the job to build a winning team, and only in the last 4 weeks did he realize his role was not to win but to bring hope. Not like something changed there where he said, actually, our role is not to produce a great rugby side that can hopefully win the World Cup. He said, no, it's got nothing to do with winning. It's got to do with bringing hope. And therefore, players, you have the privilege of bringing hope to a nation. Wow. There's an incredible movie called Jacob the Liar. It's set in World War II, and it's set in the ghettos. And what they started to notice in the ghettos is that the suicide rate was high. The people were committing suicide because there was no hope. Strong men and giant men were committing suicide in that ghetto. And one of the guys, his name is Jacob, he heard in the German offices a radio broadcast that the Russians were coming close and they were going to liberate everyone living in oppression in Germany. And so he went and told just that little broadcast of what he had heard, and he saw a glimmer of hope in people's lives. He saw it in their eyes. And the next day, they came to him and said, what was the message? And he didn't have a message because he only just heard it once accidentally, and you weren't allowed as a Jew in the ghetto to have a radio. It was, you would get killed. He didn't have a radio. So he lied and said, well, I was listening to my radio and the Russians are a little bit closer. They're coming. And every day he would tell another lie. He would make it up. But the story of the message is those people were kept alive by hope. And suddenly you start to see in this nation, do you know why it was such a significant thing, the Rugby World Cup? Is because our people desperately need hope. It's not just a little thing. You can see how desperate our nation is for hope. Something that they can cling on to. Tash and I were at the New Zealand Equip about 2 weeks ago. And a man who's not part of New Covenant, but preached at the Quip, his name was Trevor Yaxley. And he got up to speak, and he had a dream to make an animated movie that brought hope. That's all that he wanted to do. He's a Christian man, wanted to make an animated movie, approach the New Zealand government. Their budget was 20 million New Zealand dollars, 200 million rand. That was their budget. And the New Zealand government were prepared to give 250,000. So he was a little bit short of what was required. And I don't know how the connection came, but a door started to open up in China. And essentially, the biggest Chinese media company said, "We want to get behind you because you're bringing a message of hope, and our people need hope." 1 billion people in China need hope. And he said, you've got the Chinese wrong. They are a people in search of hope. The whole thing funded by the Chinese government to bring hope. They've won an award. The animation movie, it's just come out in various places around the world. It's called Mosley. They won an award in China before the movie was actually screened. The most anticipated animated movie, they won the award. And, you know, Nick said it. We're desperate for hope. And we will place our hope in everything that we can just possibly grasp onto. And what is the thing that we are being trained for? Bay City Church. Or Base City Church, you're being trained with a message of hope. You have a message of hope. And I'm not sure if you realize how desperate people are around you for that message. Just because their hearts are hard, or because they show no indication of wanting hope, or because there's no openness to the message of hope, I'm telling you, the World Cup showed us people need hope. They're desperate for hope. We have the message of hope, that we are created in the image of God, that we created to be loved, adored, appreciated, valued by a Father, that we are created in turn to thank Him back, to worship Him back, that we continually don't honor that creation. We continually want to worship our own things. But in the extravagant love and kindness of the Father, He gives His Son so that we don't live under the judgment and hopelessness that we deserve, but we get reconciliation and redemption and reestablishment back to this Father who loves us through faith in His Son, Jesus, not only now, but forevermore. It's a message of hope, friends. It's a message of hope. And I'm saying to you, Natasha brought up the word. She said, actually, it's time to muscle up. And I'm saying, Bay City Church, it's time to muscle up. Not just knowing this message of hope and being grateful for it, but stewarding the message of hope. Russ Erasmus said it became a responsibility and a privilege, because we're not just praying to win. We're playing to bring hope to a nation. And friends, we have got a better hope, an eternal hope, and we must steward that well. By steward, we must take responsibility. By take responsibility is we must actually give this truth to those around it. It must ring out. Our mouths must open. And I hope that I'm not bullying you here, but there is a sense of urgency, friends, with the message of hope that we carry. We must believe it in our hearts that Jesus Christ can save anyone, that the gospel is the power of salvation, that there is power even in our weak words, even when we don't get the gospel right, even when we mess it up, when we stumble it in front of someone, there's power beyond our ability to eloquently bring the gospel. Would you steward the gospel, friends? And I think, friends, that probably some of the reasons why we're not stewing the gospel is because you're a little bit ashamed. You're a little bit fearful that you might blow it. Friends, God's with you in this process. He says he'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll never put you to shame if you just go for it and present the gospel, an aspect of the gospel, a portion of the gospel, an aspect of his kindness, an aspect of his generosity. People need hope, and the nations need hope. The word Bay City Church, you've been trained for a mission. And some of you, your mission is predominantly where you work. It's predominantly where you spend most of your time. But it's also the nations, friends. Our nation is not the only nation that needs hope. Yeah. I went to buy some lights for my daughter's 18th birthday. You know those, like, I don't know, fairy lights? Bad mistake. I went to a Chinese shop because I was running late. And so I started to check. The guy's Chinese, obviously. So I said, hey, tell me about your country. He says, the people are poor. He says, there's a few rich people, but he says, the people are poor. And that guy needs hope. And his nation needs hope. Who says that someone from here can't go to China? Yeah. Or go to a Chinese shop? Yeah? With the message of hope. Friends, Jesus says there's you're a city on the hill. Like, who puts a basket over a lamp? What purpose is that? I'm telling you, the enemy has lied to you. He's lied to you to say that maybe your sin or maybe your past or maybe your inability or whatever lie, he's lied to you to say, actually, don't present the gospel. Wait till another better moment. Wait till you've got your life together. Wait for this, wait for this, wait for this, wait. No, take the basket off, friends. Take the basket off. Just have a risk. Present the gospel. Present Jesus. I'll take a moment to pray for you. Is that okay? I can just pray for you now. I haven't finished, by the way, just in case. Father, you know, all of us are human. We're flesh and blood, but we're also spirit. And so often, Lord, there are so many opportunities to just tell of the wonder of Jesus and to bring hope, Lord. And I'm praying, Lord, that over this church, that you would bring courage and boldness. I love that word boldness, Lord. It just means like a lion, not normally who we are. And Lord, this is not something we're wanting to do in our own flesh. We're wanting to do it in your strength. And so Holy Spirit, would you come upon your people now and give them the gift of boldness and courage, Lord. Even this week, Lord, would we be surprised at what we've said and what we've done? And some of the silly things we did just because we sensed you're in it. And so, Holy Spirit, we're asking that you would give us the gift of boldness. We know, Lord, in our own strength, we're just not good enough. But with you on our side, with you with us, Holy Spirit, Lord, amazing things can be done. Amen. And so as you... You know, it's an incredible thing. As you start to risk with the gospel, Jesus becomes more beautiful in your eyes. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we've been married for 22 years. You know, the longer that you get married, particularly if we've got four kids, it's a lot of pressure at home. Sometimes the only thing you see is the person's bad characteristics, or in my case, my bad characteristics. And yet sometimes when you take a moment just to think about that person or honor them, you realize, man, there's some beautiful things. As you speak it out, as you're telling someone else about your wife, you start, no, she's amazing. She actually is amazing. And as you begin just to risk with Jesus, so the gospel becomes more beautiful in your heart. And your desire to make Jesus known becomes stronger. Not, well, Brennan says, okay, I have to do it, I have to be a chore. If this thing of telling people about Jesus is a duty, chances are that the revelation of who he is has perhaps gone a bit dim. So take a risk. And so one of the things around just taking responsibility of the gospel, take stewarding the good news of Jesus, is as we recognize the hopelessness around us, we are moved to prayer. The muscling up, I've said firstly, is the desire to make Jesus known where he's not known. But as we go and we see the massive need, we recognize, you know, seriously, what can actually we do? What can one church, Bay City Church, what can we really do? What can me as an individual really do when we look at the hopelessness of the nations? And as we look at our hopeless kind of context, we got to go, okay, Lord, let's get down to business. Let's begin to pray, both individually and collectively. The collective prayer often is a result of you muscling up in individual prayer. It was quite funny as this guy, Trevor, he actually started to talk about China. I just started to cry out to God for China. Just started to pray for China. I've never been to China. I've never even been close. But God's just doing something in my heart. And it's not just a once-off prayer. It's just praying and praying and praying and praying. And friends, there's a muscling up that needs to come in this time. We can't be sleepy at this time. And, you know, one of the things that I've recognized, I don't want to make it an absolute truth, but I think it's pretty close, is that all the men and women who've accomplished great things in God have been men and women of prayer, and mostly early prayer. Not exclusively, but mostly early prayer. In other words, they're waking up before it was dark to pray. It's not a legalistic thing. It's just something of prayer becoming part of your daily life, the kind of set-aside time prayer, but every moment praying. And God's just doing something in my heart where, you know, we're all busy, we've got meetings and running around, but generally you'll find you can't keep going for 24 hours. You've got to have little five-minute breaks, yeah? Guys working in the office, you can't just keep going. You've got to have a break. I want to encourage you, try this. Just walk and pray for 5 minutes. Walk in your environment, just begin to pray. You'll start muscling up in prayer. And as you're starting to do, God will give you things to wrestle. He'll give you things to pray for. And you'll start praying for things that you never dreamed of praying. You see, prayer for our own needs, it's beautiful. Prayer for our family, it's beautiful. Prayer for some of the things that we are struggling with, these are beautiful things. They're all things that we see David praying. But God is wanting for you to pray for those who do not know God, those without hope. And I want to encourage you, friends, pray specific prayers. Pray specific prayers. In other words, prayers that you know that God has answered or not. It's good for the general prayers. God bless the nation. God bless my family. But ask things. So a scripture came up from Nick's trip. It says, ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. Is that the scripture that came up? In other words, that's a scripture that's a gift to the Son, Jesus. The Father is saying, listen, if you ask of me, Jesus, I will give you the nations as they belong to me, but I'm going to give them to you as a gift. Okay, is that applicable to us? Can we apply that particular scripture? Can we actually pray for the nations? Of course we can. Of course we can. We can begin to pray for people without hope. If you take your prayer meetings when you come together, just begin to look at the nations. Start to pray for the nations. I know you do as already. I know you travel to the nations. I love what Nehemiah did. When the king says, what is it that you wanted? Nehemiah listed. It says, I need this, 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 this. You can be specific with God. He's not afraid of your demands. You can be very, very specific. Hey, Lord, I need this to do this. You can place some great demands upon our God because he is great. Friends, I'm not just preaching a nice message to rile you up. I'm preaching what's on my heart. And there's test me and there's weight when I say that you can ask for God for anything because I've seen him do it accurately and specifically. One of my favorite quotes is from William Carey, who went to India. And he says this. He says, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. God is highlighting the word Bay City Church. He's training you up with a mission. What is the mission? It's a message of hope. What's the hope? That all men who put their faith in Jesus get to spend eternity with the Father who loves them. Okay, what are some of the things the Holy Spirit is putting upon your heart right now to attempt? If you had to turn to the person next to you and tell them some of the things that are upon your heart to attempt, what would you say? Talked about prayer, we've talked about the gospel. Let's talk about family. And so, friends, I've always reluctant when we use the word when we use military terms to describe the church. I mean, there's an aspect, but I'm always just a bit wary of that because we serve a father, and I love that word father. And I think we're a family on a mission, not an army on a mission. We have a certain militancy about us. We have a certain aggressiveness about us. And just last night when I was thinking about you at 12:30, in this crazy, crazy moment, and I'm still wondering if I'm going to get invited back, the kind of military base that I sent you guys are is you're paratroopers. Paratroopers. Paratroopers are an elite bunch. They're not just the kind of guys who get to run at another guy with a gun, you know. They are trained specifically to be dropped behind enemy lines and take the enemy lines from behind. They're sneaky. And to attack from the front, where they expect, no, we'll put you behind and you attack, you know, we'll drop you behind the enemy lines and you attack. And there's a true story about a paratrooping division. And they were dropped behind enemy lines in the Battle of the Bulge in the Second World War. And they were completely surrounded by Germans for an extended period of time. And their sole mission was just to hold the line. They just had to hold the line. And eventually, the whole American army and British army came and rescued them and said, we've come to liberate you because you were surrounded. And the paratroopers said, that's our job to be surrounded. We didn't need rescuing. And there's a sense, friends, of God saying to you that he's wanting you to position you in places where you take enemy ground. In New Zealand, we met a couple that are planting into Wellington and from Peter Rasmussen's church, and they were then with Marcus at Cornerstone. Afrikaans couple, always trust Afrikaans couples to do great things. Come on, Afrikaans couples, respond. Yanni. And I said, why are you planting? You know, why are you planting in Wellington? And so I was expecting him to say, no, God said this and God said that. And God, you know the whole story, he says, I just want to take ground. I want to take ground for God. There's something about that militant heart. There's actually the King of Heaven is with us. He is risen from the grave. He has defeated the power of the enemy. He has defeated the power of the enemy. The power that the enemy has is to lie to us and say, well, we're not worthy, we're not ready, you know, all these type of things. Actually, you have the risen King with you. Let's take some ground. Let's take some ground, friends. And so we're a family, friends. God places the lonely in family. The rainbow nation is such a beautiful concept, but it does not create family. The sinfulness in my heart and the sinfulness in the heart of my brothers from the township is too big. It will not create family. The word rainbow nation is not strong enough. Jesus creates family. Jesus is able to break down the wall of hostility that exists between man and man and man and God. I'm not saying that to you, that you go, yeah, that's nice. I'm telling you it's true. We've got living testimony, joy to the nations, of something of that truth. Duncan is here. There are 15 different nations. There's rich and poor. It's not the most perfect church. It's an ordinary church, but there is a testimony of Jesus doing the impossible. And he places us in family. And so, you know, when I'm using the word base, I don't want to discard a great value of Christ, which is family. It's not like as someone comes in and you say, hey, come on, guys, we're on a mission. Get your military boots on. We're going for it. And the person's broken, and they need the healing touch of Jesus. And they need to know what it is to be fathered, and they need to know what it's to be longed, and they need to know what it is to be loved experientially, not just here. And so I want to ask you, Bay City Church, and I'm not trying to change the name, I'm just expressing what I heard last night. Is there room in your family for one more? There's this movie called Schindler's List, and he wanted to save the Jews, and so he used all his wealth to create a factory to make ammunition, and he'd employ just Jewish people, but they never made any ammunition, or the ammunition that they made was dud. It was defective. It was just something to rescue Jewish people from the ghettos. And when the war was over, and I'm sure some of you remember this scene, all the Jews, they took the gold out their teeth, and they melted and made a ring and presented it to him. And he just broke down in tears. And he said, I could have actually used my gold fillings just to save one more Jew. One more. Is there room within your community group for one more? Perhaps consider opening up your home to the one more. Perhaps consider opening up your family. It's inconvenient. It's tiring. It's exhausting. It's uncomfortable. It's the message of the cross. It's like the cross. What were you hoping for? And so, friends, we're a family on a mission. Obedience to the Word of God. The Word in Acts chapter 2 talks of all the values that I'm talking about you see in Acts. It says they devoted themselves to the apostolic teaching. And I think part of the muscling up that needs to come is just the obedience to the Word of God, just straight away. Do you know that obedience is God's love language? Do you know what? It's lovely for us to come and raise our hands, and I like to dance badly. When I was preaching in an African township, the guy who led the church, Zolile Diamani, got up and said, thank you so much for dancing so passionately. He says, let me show you how you look. And he began to dance really badly, like really with no rhythm. And that's me. But friends, obedience is the love language of God. We can raise our hands, we can dance. Those are beautiful things. But just obedience. And I love this scripture. It says, make it your aim to please the Lord. This is my 18-year-old, what I say to all the time. Just, what do you want to do in life? Just make it your aim to please the Lord. How do you please the Lord? Just obey him. Just take the word and obey. Just obey, obey. And that's a process for all of us, because all of us have got areas where we don't like to obey. Just start to obey, obey, obey. Obey him in your finances. Obey him in your sexuality. Obey him with every aspect of your life. Just take the word. Obedience to the word. Last thing, and then I'm done. Commissioning. And Tash talked about commissioning. The role of the church is not to grow. Bay City Church, your role is not to grow. It is a fruit of the gospel. We can expect growth, but it's not the mission. The mission is not church growth. I love that saying where the church doesn't have a mission. A mission has a church. The mission of God is that all would know of his goodness. And he says, how am I going to do that? I'm going to use a church. Can you see this, the switch, friends? The mission has a church. We're just servants. We just get to actually say when we come to at the end of our lives. And I love Nick preached a great message at the East London Equip. He says, is it before I die? Before I die, dot, dot, dot. In other words, before I die, what do I want to do? Before I die, we want to say, Lord, we actually did what you told us to do. We gave it a shot. We did our best. We made some mistakes. You know, but we went for it, Lord, before I die. So I sense that there's some commissioning. Commissioning is people being sent out. And of course, we are all commissioned. There is, in the Bibles, you know, commissioning of certain officers. In the military, you get commissioned as an officer. I'm a commissioned officer in the South African Navy. Doesn't count for much, but I am. If we go to war, I don't want to go on our ships. Don't want to be there. But in the church of God, in the family of God, there are no commissioned officers. We are all commissioned. All of us. And I hope that just you're commissioned. God has put his hand upon you. He's put his spirit upon you, sir, and you, ma'am, and says, take this out. Take it out. Take it out. You're commissioned. Commissioned with the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the angels with you. The Father with you. The Son with you. Acts talks about, whilst they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit set apart for the work to which I've called them. Everyone gets a commission. And so to the elders, I think there's going to be some commissioning of God's of God just releasing people to do great works, you know. And Nick and Shelley, the Cornerstone Church has just got this this gift. They just keep giving. They just keep giving. They just keep giving. And I'm sure if you chatted with Marcus, he would say, the hardest thing, because every time we build some muscle, the best go, the best go, the best go. But that man has opened up his hands. And there's an opening up of the hands. Even some of them, when we're not sure, should they go? You know, it doesn't seem right. But there's a commissioning that God wants to release through you.